joined.
Good morning. Who's on the line?
Hey, Kelsey. Jill. This is Jill. I'm on the line.
Okay, great.
I haven't heard anybody else come in. Did you get all my emails? One right after another.
I think so. I think we're good. I definitely got the one about the attendance, so that was a great idea for the chat box.
Awesome.
Just give me a second. I'm having it load my screen, so I'm going to just mute for a bit. Jill, can you also pull the PowerPoint up just in case I have to have you change the slides for me? I'm having difficulty with the meeting.
Joined.
Okay, I have it up.
Okay. So I guess just be on standby. I'm hoping it will load, but right now it's just giving me a circle.
Okay, it's fine.
Morning, Corey. We're just getting the PowerPoint up and going.
Okay, great.
Anne, Katana Lynn.
Joined.
Kelsey, is the problem it's not loading on your computer or the screen is not sharing?
Both. It froze with the screen sharing, but I'm trying to relaunch it now. So.
Okay.
Hi, girls. It's Anne.
Hi, how are you? It's Jill.
I'm good. Good. How are you guys doing?
Still snowed in. Still no school.
Yeah, I know. We are getting freezing rain, so.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. On top of 18 inches of snow.
Greene County.
Joined.
Hi, can you just join from Greene County?
Hi, it's Melanie, Ashley, and George from Greene County. Melanie Trout, Ashley Bishop, and George Lagos.
Thank you.
Sure.
Lex.
Joined.
Hi, Lex. It's Jill. Kelsey's trying to get her PowerPoint to load up.
Okay.
Yeah, so while people are signing on, if you can, in the chat box, just write your name and your partnership, your organization, agency, family, youth, et cetera, in the chat box, that would be great for helping us take attendance for today.
Would it be okay if we faxed our sign-in sheet to someone for that?
Yeah. Are you able to scan it and email it to us?
Sure. Who would I be sending it to?
You could send that to me. So that's Kelsey Leonard, the email.
Okay. I'll send it to you.
Joined.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Carolyn Richardson.
Joined.
Yeah, Jill, I think we're going to have to go with you flipping the slides for me because it's not liking me this morning.
Okay, then you just need to switch the screen to me, switch the presenter role to me. Go up to your icon where it says screen and switch over to the presenter. And then you'll just have to switch when to change slides.
Joined.
Now, Kelsey, it's telling me you just arrived.
Hi, it's Pat Cambry.
Hi, Pat. Jill.
Hi, it cut me off.
Oh, wait, we might have something.
Hi, Pat. It's Ann.
Hey, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Snowed in.
Yeah, I know.
How much did you guys get?
We got 18 inches.
Can you see this, Jill?
Yes, I can see it now.
Yay!
I can see it.
Hey, could you send it to me because I don't have it?
I'll send it to her, so you don't have to do that.
Thank you.
No problem.
Great. So we'll probably wait just a few more minutes for those that will call in and get started just after 5 past the hour. For those that are joining the call, if you could just in the chat box type your name and your affiliation, agency, youth, family, assistant partner, et cetera, that'll just help us with having an accurate list of attendees for today.
And, Kelsey, I'll be glad to help you with that as soon as I get it. Well, Ann, I feel for you. We have 32 inches here, anywhere from 32 to 48.
I was going to ask you that. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that, we're getting freezing rain. Are you guys getting that today?
Yeah, we had some earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like fun stuff. I was waiting for the winter to come, so I'm actually happy.
Good for you.
Kelsey, did you just get kicked out again?
I don't think so.
Oh, good.
It's showing green as in go on my end.
Okay, it just told me you left again. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, all I have is the PowerPoint, Jill. That's what you sent me.
What do you mean? I sent you what she sent me. I sent you the PowerPoint. Hold on.
Oh, I thought it was a go-to meeting.
It is. Oh, you don't have the link? Hold on. I thought you wanted the PowerPoint. Hold on.
And it's not on the calendar either. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me know, Pat, when you have your system up and going, and then we'll get started.
Well, I can – don't hold it up for me. What I can do is I'll work the chat room.
Okay.
Sounds
great. Well, we'll get started. For anyone else, I think there's just one other person that joined. We'd love for you to be able to fill in the chat box area your name and affiliation, youth system, family partner, agency, et cetera, whatever you feel like sharing. But that'll help us to have an accurate count of a few
county.
Today's webinar.
Joined.
So today, this is the first installment in our CLC webinar series. Just making sure. Thank you to everyone who joined. If you can just put yourself on mute. I think we're getting a bit of feedback. Okay, fantastic. So this is the first installment in our CLC webinar series for this year. And my name is Kelsey Leonard. I'm the Cultural and Linguistic Competence Coordinator for the Pennsylvania System of Care Partnership. And our webinar today is a refresh. It's a refresh on our CLC pilot project that we did last year, an idea of what types of projects that were carried out by our pilot counties, and additionally, what some of their successes and challenges were in implementing CLC programming over the past year. So, as I said, this is a part of a larger webinar series we're doing.
Mary is joined.
I guess you can call this our second annual. We started this last year, and it was very well received, so we decided to continue it this year. And so we have today's webinar, which is on our CLC pilot project. We will then have our next webinar, which I would kind of title as our keynote webinar, on Tuesday, March 29th. Note that that's at 3 p.m. There won't be two time slots for that webinar, just one at 3. And that webinar is on mental health-friendly communities, building faith-based system of care partnerships. And it's a training that is derived from a program out of California that really looks at how to sustain cultural brokering with your local faith-based cultural brokers and members of your community to improve your overall CLC plans and programming in your county. So we're hoping that we can give you an introduction to that training opportunity and be able to incorporate it here in Pennsylvania. The last webinar in our series will be in May. That will have the normal two time slots at 10 and 6 on Tuesday, May 17th, and that's going to be working with linguistically diverse populations. When we talk about cultural and linguistic competency, sometimes we often forget the linguistic part, so it's just a really great portion of this series is to always highlight that component of CLC. So today, throughout the series, if you want to tweet us, you can use the hashtag CLC, add us on Facebook or Pinterest. We'd love to hear your thoughts and have you contribute to our social media platform. So again, Kelsey Leonard, nice little picture of me. That's my email is leonardkt@upmc.edu. You'll also see that at the end of the PowerPoint. If you have any questions, the resources today, the PowerPoint, and our actual final report from the CLC pilot project will be made available on the website under today's County Collaborative CLC webinar series. And so for those attendees, we'll try and send you a link to that, or you can always email me, and I will be happy to send you the PowerPoint and the final report. So what was the pilot project? Well, it was a project that ran from December 2014 to June, July of this past year, 2015. There were three phases, and there were three counties that were involved. Each phase of the project aimed to heighten awareness, influence attitudes towards practice, and motivate the development of knowledge and skills so that counties could incorporate cultural and linguistic competency into their system of care. Those pilot project phases included conducting an assessment, developing a CLC plan, and implementing an action item from that CLC plan that was developed during the pilot. So what does that look like? What did these phases entail? Well, the first phase was the CLC assessment. And with that, counties look to address three aspects during the assessment process. Pilot counties look to address three aspects. They wanted to prepare a CLC assessment and a CLC advisory committee team so that this advisory committee, this team, throughout the pilot project would help to guide and steer the development of the different programming elements that they were and activities that they were doing. You know, and that committee is made up of youth and families and having it be reflective of your community and all of its diversity. And so ultimately, they would contribute to the development of the assessment and to giving feedback on tailoring it to be a fit for your county. The assessment phase was also important in assessing the diversity of youth and families served and knowing your county demographics. You know, it's really hard to say, you know, are we meeting our Pennsylvania System of Care standard for CLC if we don't have a good idea of what our demographics are, of what our cultural and linguistic makeup really is in our communities. And then the last portion of the assessment process was to potentially be able to identify gaps, determine priorities, and be able to brief your county leadership team to say with confidence, you know, these are some of our priority areas, or these are some of our need areas. And that really helps with being able to develop a comprehensive plan to address those gaps, those needs, and determine priorities. So when we're planning for culturally linguistically appropriate services, we begin with an awareness of increasing diversity within a county. We know that diversity across America is constantly in flux, constantly changing, constantly growing. We're becoming an ever more diverse country year after year. And so it's important to continually have assessment be a part of our planning and implementation. So the first step for this was to select, as I mentioned, a CLC advisory committee, a team, to educate the committee and staff about CLC. So it wasn't just the system of care coordinators that did the pilot project and did all of the work. They really had to build a team, whether that was a team of advisory committee members or a team of staff or just educating people generally about what the pilot project was and getting ownership and buy-in. That was an important part of this first phase. And it was really important as well to include youth and family perspectives. We advocate this because we know that it will help to ensure that the critical information needed is collected and that staff members, committee members, have the background to make appropriate decisions as the CLC plan is developed. So, you know, we know that there's nothing that can take the place of a youth or family perspective in developing programming for system of care, and so that's something that we highlighted in the pilot and was really critical. So after the assessment phase, and we're going to talk a little bit later about what each of the counties did and, you know, what this looks like, but this is kind of your bird's eye view of what we did. So we then went from the assessment phase into phase two, which was the CLC plan. And the CLC plans were developed by the pilot counties to contain examples of specific tasks and responsibilities within six critical CLC domains. So these are domains that were identified at the national level, also just generally within system of care, as areas that will have the greatest impact for developing and enhancing your CLC programming. So looking at governance and organizational infrastructure, services and supports, planning and continuous quality improvement, collaboration, communication, and workforce development. And so the idea behind this is that the pursuit of cultural linguistic competence is a developmental process. So these CLC plans are living documents, and they're really to be adapted to where counties currently are. You may see a template on our website and available at the national level. That can look very daunting because it has all of these different domains, and maybe there's like 10 different action items for each of these domains, and so that's like 60 different action items. What we said to our pilot counties is really we're trying to meet you where you're at, and you should meet yourself where you're at in a sense, in that when you're developing a plan, don't bite off more than you can chew right now. So if you can only tackle 6 action items in the next year, just start with 6. Or if you can only tackle 4, just start with 4. Or if you want to do 20, go for it. But make sure that it's reasonable because the plan is a living document. So once you get through one action item, you can, you know, check that off the list and add something else. It's, you know, CLC, we always talk about,
it as being a journey. It's not something where you have one checklist that's the be-all, end-all, and once you check that off, you're done forever. You just can't do that because, as we said earlier, our populations, our communities are constantly changing. So there's always room for improvement. So that's just the caveat for the plans is, definitely it will meet you where you're at. You want to, don't bite off more than you can chew. Make sure your action items are reasonable. And realize that it's a living document and it's going to work with you. And so then our last phase three, was implementation. And so we wanted to work with each of our counties after they had developed a CLC plan. We wanted to work with them to implement one of the action items on that plan. Generally, the action items fell within three areas of concentration for improving CLC. This was specific to our pilot counties, but, as I said, they could have fallen within the six different areas mentioned on the previous slide. But for our pilot counties, they chose to focus within these three areas. So providing linguistic services, oral and written, improving cultural competence, and developing a diverse workforce. In addition to, this work, what they had to first identify were the parameters for being able to implement their action item. And so, some of these key parameters for implementation are, who are the participant organizations in implementation? What are the roles, and who's going to fill those roles? Is it staff? Is it youth, family, system partners? Who are your actors? Who are your key actors? What are the actual action steps? So, you have this big idea of potentially doing an LGBTQ training. What are the actual steps that will get you to your end goal of having a successful training for 150 people, et cetera? Then you want to talk about your time frame. How long will it take to plan, to put together? Maybe you want to have the training in July, but you're starting in March. So what does the time frame look like for implementation? Persons responsible, so those are the people that may be filling those roles, key actors as mentioned, and benchmarks. So for some of the bigger action items, like if you're looking to do governance infrastructure or governance restructuring, that might be something where you have to phase in implementation, and so you want to really set benchmarks for yourself. So those were the three phases. It may seem a bit daunting, but we had three counties that were very enthusiastic to participate, and that was Northumberland, Montgomery, and York. They took on the challenge to go through this pilot and to do those three phases. So we'll start with giving you some background. I'll pause for a second just to see if there's any questions. The next portion of our presentation is to really go into each of the counties and tell you what they did. So just for a moment, are there any questions? You can feel free to chime in or type them in the chat box. Okay, well, hearing none, I'll move on. If you do have a question while we're going through the presentation, feel free to type those in the chat box, and I'd be happy to field them as they come.
Joined.
Okay, so our first county that we're going to look at is York County. So what they did, their main project or action item that they looked at from their CLC plan that they developed was to pilot an audit and assessment of one of their system partners. So they worked in collaboration with the JCC, which is the Jewish Community Center, as a consultant. So they partnered with a local cultural community organization, a cultural broker, to conduct an audit and assessment of their cultural linguistic competency for internal and external interactions with youth, family, staff, and other system partners. Now, this was an audit and assessment that was done across five departments, but specifically for the pilot project, while the assessment and audit was being conducted over several months, I believe it was completed in August of this year, the one that was completed during the pilot project was youth department for York County. So that's what some of the outcomes will reflect, was a focus on that one department within their system of care. But the overall assessment and audit was done across 5 different departments. So what did their CLT programming look like before system of care? Well, they had CLT plans that were operating in silos. Each department worked independently of one another, separate trainings and conferences. And so with the implementation of the system of care standards, they created a CLC committee with representatives from each system partner to assess CLC competency within each individual agency, to determine each agency's benchmarks and levels of needs and gaps. So they really focused on getting that advisory committee going and being very impactful in their decision making. They also organized community cafes geared towards the Hispanic community within New York County, which have been very successful, if that's something you're interested in. They hired a linguistic expert to translate forms, publications. They also are doing that via a translation software, and if you're interested in the type of translation software they are utilizing, we can have them forward you information on that. And they piloted through our program and a little bit past this program, the audit and needs assessment for their youth development center. So what did that look like? So the youth development center audit is actually, it was a building audit. It's an idea that when we talk about cultural and linguistic competency, it's not just in our communications with our consumers or youth and family partners, but it's also in their overall experience, the environment that we create, and whether or not that is reflective of the diversity within our communities. So sometimes doing a building audit is really a great opportunity to assess if you have a CLC-friendly building, a CLC-friendly office. And so specifically, the Jewish Community Center within York had this as a opportunity that they had done before to offer to the York County System of Care. So these are some pictures of things that they took pictures of to assess in the audit. So you can see whether or not you have a diversity of faces reflective of your community, diversity of ages, whether or not your materials are available in different languages. All of these different things are taken into consideration during a building audit. You can just go through and see some of these other pictures, the types of books you have, maybe if you have a reading library. For this being a youth development center, they probably had a reading library with books for youth to check out or just to read while they're there. And so are they reflective of the diversity of experiences within your community? Looking at your artwork as well, trying to see how representative that is. And then the different types of messages you might have in your environment. Is your mission statement clearly posted? That's something, and is it reflective of CLC and being friendly towards CLC, being a champion for CLC? That's something that's really noted as creating a welcoming environment. So here's what their assessment structure looked like. So when they conducted their assessment, they did one-to-one interviews with 10 staff members. They did written self-assessment. So these are often looking at geared towards staff and looking at organizational structure, happiness, satisfaction, et cetera, with CLC currently within the department or within the Youth Development Center. So they conducted these self-assessments with 42 staff members, and then they did one-to-one interviews with 10 parents, caregivers of youth. So, and, you know, I think the only additional layer they could have added to this would have had to would have been to have had one-to-one interviews with 10 youths. And so, you know, we always want to say that, you know, your youth and family component should be, should definitely exist and should be equal components to the, your structure. But this was how York set up theirs. So what came out of the assessment? Some of their short-term recommendations were to include system partners in their training opportunities, to create a small group of staff and youth to advise on activities, school-related work, and recognize celebrations throughout the year. So that's one thing where are you only putting up celebratory decorations at Christmas time? And do you have, and if so, is that reflective of your population, or are you marginalizing certain areas of your population by only putting up celebratory decorations around just for Christmas? You know, so you know, do you also do it for Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and do you do things for Ramadan, and just being conscientious of where you are in terms of your departmental recognized or agency recognized celebrations throughout the year. Evaluate intake procedures to meet the needs of cultural groups being served. Evaluate short and long-term opportunities based on the building audit. So again, we often implement programs that we think are CLC specific, but we forget that evaluation is a key component of CLC because it's a journey. So you need to know, this is where I started, here's where I'm at now, and how can I continually improve? An evaluation is a great way to ascertain that. So you also want to, they also recommended creating an exit survey, exit interview for youth seeking feedback on services and what their experience for cultural linguistic competency was with YDC. They said they there should also be bias awareness training for all staff. And that translation of brochures and materials needed to be in a minimum of 2 different languages. So I think at the time they were only available in Spanish, and so they recommended based on the York County demographics that they have them in at least one other language. And then to evaluate communication of mission and values to staff, youth, and their families. And so we talked a bit about that earlier on how important an inclusive mission is to creating and establishing a welcoming environment. So long-term recommendations, they said to expand the collection of data on youth and staff, have staff and supervisors evaluated on advancing CLC annually. So it's really important to do those self-assessments, to have staff, to have leadership, do those self-assessments annually. One, they might see that their own perspectives on certain issues change. We evolve as individuals, and so maybe our perspectives might change. And it's also a good way to ascertain what some of the priorities are for your leadership and staff and whether those are congruent with your population that you're serving. They also recommended that the YDC be evaluated on advancing CLC annually. So that assessment is not something you just do, you know, one time and you're done. That this is something that you should, you kind of have to make a lifelong commitment to almost. If not annually, maybe biennially, you know, you'll figure out what is the right time frame for you, but it is something that should be happening consistently. Develop an annual cultural linguistic evaluation for system partners. They also asked, recommended that YDC provide ongoing opportunities for staff and youth to address bias, evaluate the demographic and statistical information. You know, as we said, and we'll continue to say, our populations are continuously changing, and so, you know, when we collect data and when we evaluate our demographic data, we have to, you know, do that on a consistent basis because it is changing. And then examine and develop strategies to hire additional bilingual staff. So where are they now? Well, they're organizing CLC trainings for system partners. They're hoping to host a clergy roundtable and they are implementing the remaining action items on their CLC plan in collaboration with the CLC committee that they developed and the members of that committee. So our next county that we're going to look at is Montgomery County. And so here are some of the activities they undertook in the pilot project. They developed a CLC community stakeholder survey. So this was a tool to engage stakeholders, assess resource needs, and share information. This was a survey, as we'll go into, that was adapted from our state-level CLC survey, and so that was a great strength in their pilot. They also conducted a CLC community forum, which was a great platform for, communication, recruitment, and development of recommendations. And then they also conducted a CLC training, so hoping to increase continued education and awareness of CLC. So why did they decide to participate? I think that's a question that often people ask of our counties in the pilot. So for Montgomery, their county leadership team experienced transition with members and facilitator in 2014, which provided an opportunity for them to engage in strategic planning. So sometimes, you know, the catalyst for implementing CLC programming, or just saying that a county wants to take on CLC programming, is often some type of staff or leadership turnover, or a general recognition that it's time for some strategic planning. That strategic planning happens along the lines of the Pennsylvania System of Care Standards, and people really identify CLC as an area that maybe hasn't been focused on previously that could have great contributions and added value to their planning efforts. So that's what Montgomery County faced, and that's what sort of their logic and reasoning behind participating in the pilot was. They were going through this transition. They were really trying to engage in strategic planning, and CLC was identified as a priority by their county leadership team. So what type of programming had they done prior to the pilot? Well, they had distributed a short survey that was to look at language needs and resources within their core community behavioral health providers. The survey results were then compiled and shared with their county leadership team. It was also incorporated into identifying some of their goal areas for 2015. And then the results of the survey were considered in development of core community-based provider requests for proposals. So really, this survey was a great way, you know, an assessment tool for them to identify that CLC should be a priority for their 2015 fiscal year. And so that's, you know, one of the reasons that they did decide also to participate in the pilot. So when they joined on to the pilot in December of 2014, and then by the time that we finished in June, these are some of their activities. So they did a joint CLC planning meeting with Delaware County, county leadership team, in January. They had their county leadership team members complete the CLC survey that was distributed at the state level by February. And then based on the county leadership team's response to that survey, they said, you know, they took the survey and they said, oh, wow, this is something that we really should be doing, you know, throughout our whole county. And so they took the survey and adapted it to distribute to community stakeholders. And they did that in May, June of 2015. They also had ongoing meetings with cultural brokers to plan their community forum, which happened in September of 2015, and where the results from the survey that they conducted in May and June were distributed. They did an LGBTQ training for their county leadership team in July, and they also updated their policies and guidelines to reflect CLC and, you know, a consciousness of CLC. And that also led them to create a new member application as a tool to assist in recruitment of members that reflect diversity in communities in Montgomery County. So really, that was kind of a highlight of their participation in the pilot. They realized that when they were recruiting members for leadership roles within their system of care, they didn't have language that advocated for CLC. They didn't have language that said, you know, we all come to the table with different perspectives and values and viewpoints, but even though we come to the table with those different perspectives, we still need to be respectful of one another and the different viewpoints that are at the table. And so, you know, that may seem very straightforward, very clear-cut, common sense, but for them, it was something that they found great added value in actually adding language to their application, to their policies and guidelines that spelled that out. And I think for a lot of community members that do reflect your minority or diverse populations, they find that type of language to be very welcoming and to be comforting in that their participation is not only valued but respected. So what were some of their challenges? Well, they said that CLC can seem overwhelming and the scaling can be difficult, especially when you have a lot of stakeholders involved. Training and interpretation can be costly and difficult to sustain. Resources for coordination and outcome measurements are scarce. So, you know, again, a lot of this comes down to resources and time, as we are all well aware in the work that we do. But there's, you know, there are ways to be innovative and get around some of these challenges, which the pilots were able to do. And a lot of that was from collaborative work, just being able to get together, you know, every 2 weeks and share some of their challenges and successes. And maybe they faced similar challenges, but one was able to overcome them and the others weren't. Then they shared how they did it. And just that sharing of knowledge was a real benefit in this project. And additionally, meeting people where they are with an understanding of CLC and its relevance. So everyone comes to the table with a different knowledge base and different knowledge foundations, especially pertaining to CLC. So you just have to, you know, meet people where they are and try and be as adaptive as you can be. So for them, their successes were the project created an opportunity for youth families to work on shared goals. The county leadership team was able to review policies and guidelines, as we mentioned earlier. There was a value in learning about cultural brokers and creating those alliances, you know, new friendships, broader networks, greater communication. They also liked that the survey process allowed them to assess their needs with a wider net of stakeholders, and that it bolstered their opportunities for training their county leadership team and you know, the system created awareness and connected to a trauma-informed goal of creating creating and supporting a safe environment. So just lastly for them, why CLC was important, they said cultural competence enables systems, agencies, and communities to better understand the needs of those accessing healthcare. You know, we know this is critical to improving the quality of care, is to make sure that we're implementing CLC programming. And I love this quote from them, you know, we should be doing it anyway and can benefit from learning about strengths, barriers, and resources from other counties. So our last county that we had in our pilot project was Northumberland County. They did stakeholder development. These are what consisted of their pilot activities. They did stakeholder development, reaching out to the educational system, family and youth representation on their CLC subcommittee. So again, creating that advisory committee, that team that can really help you to say, are you moving in the right direction? Are you making the right decisions? They did resource development, so they created grab-and-go resources for staff related to varying cultures within the county. And then they did a fantastic training. So this was one of the ones where they really focused in on training. And they did a basic Spanish training for frontline staff. And so what were their reasons for participating? Well, demographically, Northumberland County is in transition, so you'll see from in a further slide, you know, they have this rural-urban mix, and so it's really important for them with this changing demographics and increasing diversity that they are responsive to it in their delivery of care. The variability in ethnic backgrounds and language preferences remains low relative to urban counties, but It is changing rapidly when compared to census and other data sources locally. So we need to be, for them, they were really focused on data. And so they said we need to be more data-driven in decision-making, and we need to develop common cross-system languages and ways to collect the data. They also wanted to support families based on their cultural and linguistic preferences. And, you know, it's really hard to know how you can best support families if you're not collecting data on what their preferences are. So this is just to orient you to Northumberland County and where they are. So CLC initiatives that they had done prior to the pilot, well, they had developed a CLC subcommittee, and they began developing to study data provided by the System of Care Partnership. They had provided cross-systems LGBTQI training for 120 human services staff and stakeholders, and they had facilitated discussions with a stakeholders group, resulting in a separate CLC mission statement formalized in a Wordle. I don't have the Wordle on here, but for those that don't know what a Wordle is, it's the words of the mission statement sort of jumbled up into a graphic image, an infographic, and it's a very fun way to express your communication language in a different form. You know, youth really love it, and so it's a nice opportunity to express something in a different format, especially for those people that may be more visually centered learners as opposed to other forms of learning. So their pilot activities, so during the assessment phase, their county leadership team did the CLC survey, and they used that to prioritize what they were going to put into their plan. And so there were four areas of the survey that they identified as being need areas for development of action items for their plan. So they knew that they needed to be able to have better understanding of the culturally diverse communities within their service area. They also realized that they needed to be able to have a better idea of what the languages and dialects were in their county. They also identified that they needed to have more materials translated and adapted to reflect their cultural diversity and linguistic diversity in their county. And then the last question was that they needed to do greater engagement and stakeholder outreach to individuals, groups for prevention and overall delivery of system of care with understanding of CLC programming. So what the activities that they put into their plan, so increase stakeholder involvement in the CLC subcommittee, convene a group of information technology staff across the system to ascertain what CLC-related data is being collected and how. They also wanted to revamp intake and other paperwork across the system so that interviews are conducted in a more culturally and linguistically sensitive manner. So with that, what did they do for implementation? Well, they had their CLC stakeholders group their CLC subcommittee now includes intake supervisors and an English as a second language teacher from a local school district. They work to convene their IT professionals in a meeting to really start to develop that common language for collection of data. And then they gathered all of their intake forms for analysis or for translation and are just working on determining which service they want to use for that translation. What were some of their challenges? Well, due to the part-time nature of their SOC leadership, it was sometimes just getting people to meetings can be very difficult. And so the pacing of the pilot was very rigorous. And so, sometimes they had challenges meeting some of the goals that were in our pilot timeline, but we just tried to adapt that for them. And similarly, Montgomery and York, 1 week might have had a deadline for one of their activities, but we pushed it back 2 weeks. So that was kind of something that was nice about the pilot, is because we were all working together, we could adapt the time frame to match each of the county's pacing and when their county leadership teams or their DLC advisory committees met. Change. So a lot of people fear change. That was a challenge that was identified. And how do you manage that? And how do you encourage that, even though this may be something that's scary, it really does have added value and we should just take that leap of faith. And then getting the right people at the table. That's always important. And as I mentioned, we really want to make sure that youth and family are definitely the right people that need to be at the table. And so we have to make sure that they are there. Some of their successes. They said attracting additional stakeholders, so specifically the ESL teacher, was a real highlight of increased stakeholder engagement. She actually wound up presenting with us at the Learning Institute. And so it's really, you know, how do we expand our networks? That's a key area for increasing your CLT programming. And then providing basic Spanish training for frontline staff and those answering the phone across the system. And so that really was fantastic. What they did is, or what we've noticed in CLC is, we often don't realize that there are some inherent biases that come across through our frontline staff or, you know, those that are at the front desk. And so they took a national training, which is a front desk training, which really goes through to try and teach staff about what some of their inherent biases may be, or about, you know, improved ways to greet people, to greet youth and family who are coming to you for the first time, and maybe without even knowing it, something you say may turn them away from coming back or seeking services again. So they took that national training that does that in English, and they adapted it to also include Spanish language skills, so that you know, you are also greeting people in their language of preference and in their first language even. And that was just such a strength in their project. Some more successes for them were data to be more part of their discussions related to CLC. And then they saw that real change was beginning in approaches of staff when supporting the people they serve with a more culturally, linguistically sensitive manner. So, you know, the training they did really got staff to start to have greater conversations around CLC and really try to rethink, you know, what they were doing. And not because they were doing anything wrong, but just realizing that, oh, you know, I didn't even realize that someone, you know, might take that in an offensive manner or might not feel that what I said was as welcoming as it could be. And that obviously wasn't their intention. So being able to reframe their language so that their intentions could be well received by youth and families was a great success for Northumberland. So for them, why does CLC work? You know, why is this programming important? Well, it's a fundamental way to engage people. It's the responsibility of system partners to learn about the people they serve. And, you know, Chris Minnick from Northumberland is always great for saying that it's the golden rule. You know, you want to treat people as you would like to be treated. And so, you know, when people are going through these difficult times in their lives or seeking services, you know, put yourself in their shoes. You know, how would you like to be treated? And that's really what we're working on. So overall, some lessons learned. Some of the obstacles, you know, access to data varies across counties and different system partners. Some counties found it difficult to follow the fast-paced timeline. Availability of templates for ease of access and training pertaining to CLC. We wound up developing a lot of templates, and so we have those for your use and access now for future use. But that was something that was kind of an obstacle where we wanted to have things be somewhat standardized, but these templates didn't exist, so we just kind of created them based off of, you know, what we identified as needs. And then limited resources, including staff and funding. What were some unexpected events? development of an SSC tri-chair model, stipend policy, and new member application. So this enhanced trust, respect, and accountability in the culture of the county leadership team. All of the pilot counties had adopted this and are utilizing it. revised SOC policies and guidelines. You know, we talked about this, that it's important for CLC to be incorporated into your policies and guidelines, especially for new applications or recruitment of new members. And then it should be reviewed annually or whatever time frame that you set for yourself. But it's something that constantly needs to be reevaluated. We had one pilot county who had a county leadership team member who left because they didn't agree with the new CLC programming based on their personal beliefs. And so that's where we said it's really important to have CLC language included in your mission and, you know, to say at the outset of people joining for leadership or staff that we respect your values and your beliefs, but we also, you know, expect that of you as you're developing new programming and we're working on things that you be respectful of others. Kind of Chris's golden rule. and then state-mandated MIS requirements for each child serving system are not congruent. So this was something where the data issues really came in and that we're trying to figure out how within baby steps or within each of our counties, we can work to have our data speak a common language. And that's not something that's going to happen tomorrow, and it's not something that maybe will happen in a year, but hopefully it's something that if we continuously work on, we can get there. And then implementation schedule challenging. So, you know, as we said, pacing can be difficult as you're trying to work across three counties and have everyone be on the same page. So overall, lessons learned, individual values and experiences of county leadership team members can influence your CLC progress and planning. So that's why those self-assessment surveys are really good, not only to identify potential bias or priority areas, but to say, okay, are our stumbling blocks with CLC based on our leadership or based on something else? Are they based on, you know, lack of resources, funding, et cetera? What we saw is that sometimes, you know, your county leadership team can block some of your CLC progress, and they might not even realize that they're doing it. And so those surveys or those self-assessments are a really good opportunity. CLC is complicated and requires time for discussion and exploration. Again, meet you where you're at. Meet your county leadership team where they're at. Don't try and rush things. It is about good timing. It is about good pacing. And so just being able to recognize that. Create accomplishable goals. Remember, don't bite off more than you can chew. And then, you know, it's important to allow individuals a safe place to explore their experiences with varying cultures and shape their views related to culture. So when we say, I will respect your views, your values, if you respect mine, create that safe space for those interactive conversations and trainings to occur. You know, don't just pay lip service to it. We really want our actions and the environment that we create, whether it's through a building audit or through interactive trainings, to all express that. Maybe different types of forums or focus groups. All of those different types of actions can create a safe space where individuals feel comfortable sharing their values and potentially maybe from there being able to evolve on some of their stances pertaining to specific issues. And then lastly, focusing on data. You know, we really have to develop common data elements and work to see how we can utilize data to ensure that we're meeting our CLC standards. So conclusions. Takeaways. Your first step, if you want to do something similar, is to have a CLC advisory group. Create that team. Maybe it's staff, maybe it's your county leadership team, maybe it's youth and family, maybe it's all of the above. Hopefully it's all of the above. But you need that team. You can't do this in a silo. You can't do this by yourself. You really need a team that's going to be champions for you and with you. You need an assessment, and it can be as short as a 10-question survey or as big as the York County building audit and 5-departmental assessment that really took over a year to do. It's up to you, but some type of an assessment, some type of an evaluation process where you can say, here are my priority areas, here are my gaps, and I'm going to do this annually, or I'm going to do this biennially. And then CLC plans, you know, creating a plan. Maybe it's 6 action items, maybe it's more, but that's your first step. So, and lastly, as we've said, cultural competence and linguistic competence are a life's journey, not a destination. So that leaves us with questions. I apologize that we're running close to the hour, but hopefully for those that can stay, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Kelsey, it's Kat. I want to thank you for your presentation and everybody coming out on this after the storm reprieve. But I was wondering if you have any follow-up plans for counties.
Definitely. So if there are counties that are interested, and we hope you will be, first off, we encourage you to attend our next webinar, which is on March 29th at 3 p.m., and that is an opportunity for you to learn about how to do cultural brokering with your faith-based communities and develop those partnerships or SOC partnerships with those faith-based cultural brokers. And so that's at 3 p.m. on March 29th. What we are hoping to do is pilot project 2.0. We would love to see if there are counties interested that would like to do the pilot in a similar fashion to York, Northumberland, and Montgomery. We would run it again this year for it usually takes about a period of 6 months. We have a lot of experience, as you can see from the webinar today from last year. And so if that is something that would be of interest to you, you can email me at leonardkt@upmc.edu and just say express your interest in participating in, you know, the pilot project 2.0 or this year's pilot project, however you can remember that phrasing, and we would be happy to work with you. We hope that we can get a minimum of 3 counties, additional counties that would want to participate, because as I mentioned, a great contributor and great, you know, aspect of this, of the pilot project was the collaborative nature, the fact that counties could learn from each other, and so we really want to build that type of community again if we do the pilot project 2.0. So please feel free to send me an email and let me know if you have interest in participating in this year's pilot. And are there any other questions? Okay, well, hearing none, if you do think of a question, you can always, as I mentioned, send me an email, leonardkt@upmc.edu. I'd be happy to answer any questions. If you're looking for resources, if you'd like to express your interest for the pilot project 2.0, I'm always here to offer any technical assistance I can. With that, we just want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope to have you join us again in March.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Be safe.
Thank you. Great call.
Mary Lou
left.
Thank you, Green County.
Left.